And today's message, even though it's not about fatherhood, it is about being a great man of God, a mighty man of God. And we're going to talk about what makes a mighty man of God. And interestingly enough, I woke up to a quote today. I get this email every Sunday. It doesn't matter where I get it from. But I got this quote, and I thought, man, how cool is this? How thoughtful. Listen, this is a business guy, but here's what he said. He said, are we optimizing our lives for the people who know us best or the people who know us least? That's a question that haunts me. Okay, now think about this. Are we optimizing, are we making our lives better for the people who know us best or the people who know us least? Sometimes people try to improve their lives so that they could look good. Okay? But we know as men of God, we're supposed to make our lives better so that we could serve those around us better. How many would say amen? And that is a very important question. It's a values question. It's a values question. And when it comes to becoming a mighty man of God, we need to, it really comes down to how we value and what we value and who we value. So today's story is about a simple man who I believe really got this right. And I think this is a character in the Bible that every man can relate to. So we're going to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23, where there's a list that begins of David's mighty men. This is about 1,000 years before the coming of Christ, and this is during the reign of David. And David started with a band of men who were in trouble. He started with a band of men who were in debt, with a band of men who were like the law was after them. And little by little, because of David's influence, they started to become men of God. They actually became mighty men of God. And in 2 Samuel chapter 3, it begins to list who they were and what they did. And I want to begin. Let's go ahead and throw up this verse and watch this story. It says, these are the names of David's mighty warriors. Josheb, you know, sometimes I don't read verses. I literally skip verses because of the names. Okay, but I said, no, I got to do this, Lord. So help me, Jesus, okay? And I read this out loud even before I walked in here just to practice, but I'm intimidated. Help me, Lord. Okay, so Josheb Bathshebeth, a Tachmonite, was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 800 men whom he killed in one encounter. He was a mighty man of God, a mighty warrior of God, because in one encounter, he took down 800 men. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ahohite. How's that? Where you from? I come from Ahohite, right? So, as one of the three mighty warriors, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathered at Pasdamin for the battle. Then the Israelites retreated, but Eleazar stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. This guy fought so much, he took so many people down, that when he was done, he couldn't even open his hand. He was a mighty man of God. It says, the Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. This dude was amazing. But this is the guy I want to focus on because this is the guy I relate to the most. And maybe you're here today, you're watching from Philadelphia, you're watching online, and you're like, well, I don't know if I can take down 800 guys in one shot, or I don't know if I could do this, or I don't know. Everybody can do, and everybody can be just like Shammah. Everybody say Shammah. It says, next to him was Shammah, son of Agi, the Hararite. When the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them, but Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. So what was Shammah famous for? What made him a mighty man of God? You know what made him a mighty man of God? He protected his bean patch. You want to be a mighty man of God? How many men want to be mighty men of God? Could I see your hands? You ready? Guard your bean patch. Can I tell you something? When God looks down from heaven, every bean patch counts. And that's the title of my message today, is every bean patch counts. And the word of the Lord to every man, if you're watching online, if you're in Philadelphia, hey, you know, your life may not look like someone else's life. You may not be famous here on earth, but in the eyes of God, you can be a mighty man, and all you have to do is guard your bean patch. Come on, somebody say amen. Because whether it's great or it's little, if God has given it to you and you are watching over that, God considers you mighty. To the Lord, every bean patch counts. And every bean patch looks differently. You know, your life looks different from another life. And God literally put, there's the guy who took down 800. There's the guy who did this. And then there's Shammah. Now, being a Cuban guy, I really value beans. So, like, if they had, like, baseball card type things, Shammah would be my guy. You know what I'm saying? Because I grew up on beans. Do you know that beans, lentils, they were the second most important food source of that time. So anybody who grew up in the Caribbean eating rice and beans, you know how when we were kids, the guys used to be in the dugout and they used to go like this. I still see it. They used to, just with their hands, they would go like this. Like if they were hitting the ball, they would go, bean power, you know? It's like, we hit those home runs because of those beans. Beans were a big deal in that day. And even though other people may not have thought that that was a big deal, to Shammah, those beans were for his family and his people. And listen, and that field belonged to God. That field belonged to God. And he stood his ground and he guarded that bean patch because to him, if it's important to God, it's important to me. I was thinking about the uniqueness of life where you live, where I live. And man, everyone's family is different. How many have ever been to like a fancy restaurant or some kind of special park and you've seen like a koi pond? Anybody here seen a koi pond before? You know what a koi pond is? Look, I got a picture of it, right? That's a koi pond. You know those fish? Right? Supposed to be really valuable fish. And this is, I don't know, the botanical garden or someplace. And you've seen them in different places. So a lot of times on Tuesdays, I go for walks to pray before prayer meeting. And when we first moved here, I was like, I saw the most remarkable thing, okay? And I bet maybe there's no other place like this in any city, any place in America. It's possible, okay? 2 blocks away from here, you can walk down the block, and guess what some brother, or I don't know who they are, they have a koi pond right in front of their house. I'm serious. That is right in front of the house. Now, I understand the koi pond in your backyard, but if you walk by in the front of the house, you could stop there. He's got cameras. Look, he's got statues. He's got all kinds of stuff. Nobody's stealing those because he's got all kinds. There's like 5 different cameras, and I'm like, what a unique bean patch. So if you think your house is crazy or strange, hey, everybody, whatever, every bean patch counts. Come on, somebody say every bean patch counts. No matter how unique your situation is, don't put it down. It matters to God. It matters to God. And we're living in a day where we tend to trivialize what God has given us to watch over and to take care of, and we're missing the fact that as a man of God, by the way, this is the same thing for women, this is for everyone, as a woman of God, you need to guard and preserve and value what he gives you. Before I pray, I want to say one more thing, especially to young people. You see, something has happened in our culture where we think that the best thing in the world is to keep our options open. And nobody wants to commit to anything because we want to keep our options open. And endlessly, people are not getting married because they want to keep their options open. People don't take jobs or they this. They are always keeping their options open. And actually, psychologists have concluded that optionality is causing major anxiety. Okay, this is a synopsis of what one psychologist said. He said, some people, they don't want to commit to anything because they feel like if I commit to this, then I won't have that, and I'm missing out. FOMO, fear of missing out. But look at what it actually does to you psychologically and emotionally. So optionality at a certain point means that you have a lack of clarity of what you want, right? And so you're always cultivating multiple options. And then what it starts to do is it creates a decision paralysis. Okay, and then this increases levels of anxiety because since you refuse to choose because you can't choose, while you're not choosing to do something, to commit to someone, you know, and every time I come across this, I'm like, brothers, it's time to get married. Get married. Pick a girl and get married. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now I'm going to get letters. Okay. Get premarital counseling too, okay? So, but come on. God has one for you. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Could somebody say amen? All right. I respect the ladies for not shouting that one out, but. So look, God has something for you, and if you seek him, he'll show you. God has a bean patch for everyone to guard. God has important things for everyone to steward and to take care of. And I just want to pray right now for everyone in Philadelphia. You know, I want to pray for everyone here. Maybe you're in high school, maybe you're in college. You're like, well, I don't really have a bean patch yet. Yes, you do. Do you know Pastor Jake was telling me that speaking of the koi pond, he was telling me that when he first started, one of the things he did in the beginning is he was the head of the children's ministry, and during their prayer meeting, a lot of the kids, they would pray for their dogs, their cats, and their fish. And he was like, what am I going to do? These kids are praying for animals. And someone stopped him and said, no. Don't stop them from praying for them. That's what they're taking care of. That's their bean patch. And they're learning how to watch over what's important. And so after that, they're praying for all kinds of animals back there. And let it be, because may they learn how to guard their bean patch. Could somebody say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So come on, let's just open our hearts right now. And I just want to pray a minute. We are one church in two cities. The Spirit of the Lord is in Philadelphia. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And Father, we thank you that, Lord, our lives on the earth are filled with purpose. We thank you that from the beginning of time, from the very beginning, Lord, even before Eve came into being, you gave Abraham a garden to cultivate, to watch over, and to grow. And God, all of us want to value what's important to you. God, a day like today is so important because, Lord, we want to live to please you. We want to live in such a way that we honor you with our lives, so that when you come back, Lord, we could hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." God, I pray today that you would show us what we need to be focused on. I pray today that not one of my brothers or sisters would waste time, but that they would redeem the time, that they would make the most of their days by guarding their bean patch. God, we may not be famous, but we can be mighty in your eyes. So help us to be like Shammah. God, bless us. God, strengthen us. And Lord, when we walk out of this place, Lord, help us to go and live the kind of lives that bring you glory and the kind of lives that make an impact on the people that we love and care for. By your grace, with the help of your Spirit, Lord, we believe that this is possible. And so we thank you for doing it in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's praise Jesus. Hallelujah. I was like, man, I've had some strange sermon titles. This is a strange one, but man, is it true. Every bean patch counts. And you know, we live in a day when everyone's trying to keep up with the Joneses. We don't have to keep up with the Joneses. We just have to take care of our own business. Take care of our own business. Amen? Okay, so this imagery, the story, this simple guy who just protected a field of beans, it gives us some very important clues in regards to what is it that makes a mighty man, a mighty woman of God. And even though I have two application points for you, I want to give you kind of, how do you know? Here's three key things from his life that could speak to all of us. So number one, mighty men are committed to the right king. Mighty men are committed to the right king. Shammah was committed to serving King David. And David was God's choice for that time. In context in the Bible, David is actually a type of Christ. In context, the Bible says, teaches us that Jesus would go on to sit on the throne of David. And if you want to be mighty, you have to be committed to the right king. And if you want to ask yourself about your bean patch and ask yourself about your value system, you have to start in this place. Are you committed to the right king? How many know there is only one king, and he is the King of Kings? His name is Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Lord of all. Are you committed to the right king in this place? If you have not committed to the right king, I want to encourage you, now is the time to make the shift in your heart. You see, because even if you say, well, you don't understand, I've wasted so much time, I've ruined so many fields, I've burned down my bean patch, I've wrecked my bean patch. When you commit to the right king, the king has the power to make a new field grow. The king has the power to make you fruitful all over again. How many are thankful for the mercy of Jesus? How many are thankful that he's the God of the second chance? Commit to the right king, and he will bless your life. Shammah was committed to the right king. Secondly, Shammah fought for the right causes. This speaks a great deal to how we spend our time. Okay? How we spend our time. When you are mighty in the eyes of God, it means that you fight the good fight of faith. There are things to fight for. You need to fight for your family. Look, even if you're having a hard time in your marriage, get on your knees and pray and fight for your family, because he will help you. He will keep you. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Fight for your children. If your children are not serving God, fight for your children. Get on your knees and pray. I've been telling people all over the world, look, sometimes we need to talk less about what they're doing wrong, and we need to pray more, because the Holy Spirit can reach into their hearts. The Holy Spirit can get a hold of them. Brothers and sisters, let's fight the right fights. Do not fight the wrong fights with your time. Beware of getting caught up with things that really don't matter to God. If it doesn't matter to God, it just doesn't matter that much. One of the ways you make a judgment on whether something is valuable is, hey, look, you might like playing golf, or you might like a koi pond, and that's great if that's your hobby. God has no problem with us having hobbies. But remember, there's a big difference between what you like and God values. And to be mighty in God means that we fight the right fights. We fight for the right causes. And that's why as the elections will be heating up soon, I'm just going to say this preemptively. Just chill out this year, please. Okay? Because no matter who ends up in power, just know there is only one who's truly in power. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Vote, but chill out. Don't lose friendships over politics. How many know if you're a Republican, Jesus wants you to win Democrats? If you're a Democrat, Jesus wants you to win Republicans. So there's more letters. No, I don't get letters about that, but here's the last thing. Okay, they take their assignments and responsibilities very, very seriously. I really appreciate this. And, you know, my dad has been, he's passed for a couple years, and you had to know I was going to say something about my dad. My dad didn't know the Lord. My dad didn't teach me about the things of God. But my dad did teach me stuff about being faithful. You know, he would get up at 5 in the morning. He worked in a factory. He used to get dressed up. And he used to put his factory clothes in a shopping bag, you know. And he would carry this big, long knife, hold it in the bag because it was so dangerous. And he would go every day at 5 in the morning. And he would come back. And we, you know, we had a two-bedroom apartment, and our washing machine was in our kitchen was like from here to here to here. This is our kitchen right here, and the washing machine was right here. And every Thursday he would put the check on the washing machine. I heard him every Thursday since I was a little boy. I heard him every single Thursday. He would come and he would say to my mom, pay the bills. Every single time. My dad taught me that your money is for your family. How many know your brothers? Your money's for your family. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. There's something about taking our assignments seriously, our responsibilities seriously before God. The impact is remarkable. It's just remarkable. And everyone here, you have responsibilities and assignments, and they're special to God. You're special to God, and what He's given you is special to God. Take it seriously. Watch over it. And I've said this for years. The Bible is true. Look, a faithful steward always gets promoted. A faithful steward always gets promoted. No matter who you are, if you are faithful at work, if you're consistent, if you're steady, if you take your job seriously, sooner or later, you will get promoted because they need you. How many know we are surrounded by people who are unfaithful? Let's be faithful for the glory of God. Somebody say amen. This feels more like a dad family talk today than a sermon. But this is true. This is good. What made Shammah great? He was committed to the right king. He fought for the right causes. And he took this assignment, this simple assignment of beans, very, very seriously. If you're a single mom today, there's a brother in our church whose dad passed. And he says Happy Father's Day is actually Happy Single Mom's Day because of the mighty woman of God that she was to him. Can I tell you something? Be faithful to God. The angel of the Lord goes before you. He stands behind you as a mighty warrior, and He will bless everything that you do for Him. How many believe that today? The Lord is with you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, two quick application points to this message after we kind of lay this out, that this is the essence of what makes a mighty man or a mighty woman of God. And especially in our day, boy, does this apply to us right now. Number one, first of all, mighty men stand firm when everyone else runs. Mighty men stand firm when everyone else runs. You know what? They all ran because they said this bean patch is not valuable. But see, a mighty man says this little thing is valuable and I will not move. And can I tell you something? I've been praying for all of you men. We pastors are praying for you. And I want to encourage you to stand your ground for the glory of God. If God has given you a bean patch, stand firm. It doesn't matter if the world agrees with you. You agree with the Bible. What the Bible says is valuable. How many know if it's in the Bible, it's valuable? Stand for what is right. Stand for what is true. Stand for what is good. Stand your ground. If you're in college, just because they don't believe in what the Bible says, just because they don't believe in what Jesus says, I want to encourage you, college students, come on, brothers, stand your ground. Even if they mock you, even if they make fun of you, stand your ground. We got to stand up for Jesus, brothers and sisters. If you work on the police force and they make fun of you because you're a man of God, stand your ground. I want to encourage you, if you're going to stand your ground, you're going to find yourself to be alone from time to time. You'll be rejected. You'll be isolated. But I have a question for you. Is Jesus not worth it? Is the truth not worth it? Come on, how many say Jesus is worth being isolated and persecuted and rejected? Love the Lord more than you love the opinions of men. The Bible says the fear of man is a snare. And you know, I was talking to June before I came in here, and he was mentioning this. If they could send me a keyboard player, he was mentioning how, and this is true. You know, for anyone who got saved and your family was in the world, he was talking about how you know, when you serve the Lord and then you get with your family members who don't serve the Lord, they're always making fun of you. You know, they're always taking pot shots at you. They're always saying things like, yo, you know, stop being a fanatic and all this kind of stuff. One of his family members was saying that to me. He says, hey, I'll visit you, but if I come, I'm bringing Jesus with me wherever I go. Somebody say amen. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Never forget this. Brothers and sisters, come on, in Philadelphia, never forget this, okay? They're not living the good life. We're living the good life. Right? We're living the good life. Just because it looks like fun, it's not really fun, it's destructive. You know, they're not living the good life. We're living the good life. I remember saying to my mom when she was like, come on, why, you know? I was like, Ma, are you serious? I was like, this person is divorced. That person is a wreck. You people, you're always talking behind each other's back. You know, in Spanish, they call it bochinche, okay? All right? If you got some Spanish friends, you want to sound cool, learn that word, bochinche, right? It's like you people always gossiping. You're always this or that. That's the life? No. Let me tell you what the life is. Walking in the light of the face of God, there's nothing better than serving Jesus. Stand your ground. And I want to encourage dads to really stand for the word. You know, sometimes, you know, even mom may not understand you, but if you know that you know that you know that you've heard from God, if you know it's in the Bible, stand your ground. And ladies, I want to encourage you, if you have found a man who stands for the word of God, he will not be perfect, but could you praise God? Could we praise God for men who want to honor the word of God? Come on, ladies, come on, let's put our hands together. Stand your ground. Say, man, you're not perfect, honey, but I thank you for loving the Bible. Thank you for loving the Bible. Thank you for trying to serve the Lord with all your heart and standing your ground. Thank you for those two-hour meetings. I was with, I don't know who I was with, but one of the wives was saying, yeah, your husband did that too, yeah. It's like those five-minute family meetings that turned into 2 hours, and dad wouldn't stop saying, you got to do this, you got to do this, and the kids are like, oh, I'm going out of my mind. It's like, preach on, brother, say it another 5 minutes, but let them know. As for me and my house, come on, everybody, we will serve the Lord. Come on, somebody say amen, hallelujah. Stand your ground. Shammah stood his ground. Even though people said, run, everybody else is running. No, I'm not running. This bean patch belongs to the Lord. You do whatever you want with your bean patch, but I'm going to guard my bean patch. Because every bean patch counts to God. A little bit more seriously, you know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer is a famous pastor who came to America in, and this is real for Christians, this might be coming. Part of my responsibility is to get you ready, because persecution may be coming to America, coming to a theater near you soon, okay? Soon. It's coming to America where for you to say what's in the Bible, it's going to be called hate speech. For you to say that something's wrong, they're going to, you know, they might revoke our tax-exempt status. They might do all kinds of things to churches. In history, the church got stronger when the persecution increased. And here's what I say. I don't want it. May the Lord protect it. But if it comes, bring it on in the name of Jesus. We want to stand our ground. Somebody say amen to that. Fill yourself. Fill yourself and get ready to stand for Jesus. But anyway, getting back to Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he came right when the war was starting to really churn up in Germany, when Hitler was taking power, and then when he started to just, capture the Jews and slay the Jews and do all sorts of evil and wicked things. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was in America, and here's what he said. He said, I have made a mistake in coming to America. I must live through this difficult period in our national history with the Christian people of Germany. I will have no right to participate in the reconstruction of Christian life in Germany after the war if I do not share the trials of this time with my people. And here's what the Bible says. Listen closely. The Bible says, if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. And on this side of glory, there might be some suffering from time to time. Maybe you are isolated at work, or maybe you are isolated at school. Maybe you're isolated from your family because you love Jesus. But the word of the Lord to you in Philadelphia, here in Chicago, online, are you ready? Stand your ground. How many want to stand our ground for Jesus? Help us to do it, Lord. This is real, and we got to get ready for it. And when it comes, we will be ready. Somebody say amen. Amen. So what was special about him and any mighty man of God is that they stand firm when everyone else runs. And then secondly, what makes a mighty man of God is that mighty men, you ready? They trust in the power of the sword. They trust in the power of the sword. What was the purpose of the sword? The purpose of the sword was to protect and to fight. And let me tell you something, being a man, being a boy, just a boy is a fight. Boys endure a spirit of rejection at the playground. Boys endure a spirit of intimidation all the time. You know, since you're young, things are coming at you all the time. There are a lot of men who are walking around wounded because of things that were spoken over them that were hurtful even when they were young. And guess what? From the moment you just, like, you really come into knowing people as a man, this is for women too, but it's a special thing for men, okay? Men live in the fight. But a mighty man of God puts their faith in the sword. Look at what Ephesians chapter 6 says. Ephesians chapter 6 says, now take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There's no way to stand in this hour or any other hour unless we put our trust in the sword. You know what's supernatural about these mighty men? One guy takes down 800. One guy takes down all of these people. Why? Because when you put your faith in the Word of God will make you mighty. The sword of the Spirit is what every man of God can carry. We got to fall in love with the Bible, but we need to do more than that. We have to use the Bible when things are coming at us. We've we've got to say, just like Jesus did, Satan, get thee behind me, because it is written. Somebody say that with me. It is written. And when it is written, it is powerful. One verse will chase 1,000 back. One verse will chase the darkness away. One verse standing with you will deliver your family or deliver your children. The Word of God is powerful. Come on, somebody say, I put my faith in the Word of God. I put my trust in the Word of God. Fill yourself with the Word. Fill yourself, brothers, fill yourself with the Word. Pastor Jovan was saying this the other day. Even if you don't read well, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and the hearing of the Word of God. So look, if you don't read well, I'm telling you right now, God will help your ears. And so there's a million apps. Play the Bible on your phone. Play it in your house. And when you get a verse, and you're like, wait, what was that? Play it again. And then play it again, and then play it again, until you start walking around and you can quote the Bible and you can meditate on the Word of God. Before you know it, that word that you put inside of you starts to like get to your hand. And when the devil comes, you strike him down and you push him back, because nothing is more powerful than his mighty word. Oh, that we would have, from the youngest to the oldest, people that put their trust in the Word. Put your trust in the Word when it comes to dating. Put your trust in the Word when it comes to business. Put your trust in the Word when it comes to marriage. Put your trust in the Word when it comes to your finances. Look, if you have a question about life, take some time, call a friend, ask someone who knows the Bible better, and say, what does the Bible say about this? And get a hold of that and put your trust in the Word, because the sword of the Spirit is powerful and will make you mighty. Even, last thing, even for those who have deep, internal, painful things, the book of Hebrews says that the Word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. And it pierces our soul. It separates joint and marrow. It exposes everything. It is living and active. And no matter what you're troubled with, sometimes our battles are not on the outside. Sometimes our battles are on the inside. Get the Word inside to that place. And how many believe that the Holy Spirit will cut you loose and set you free? Come on, somebody say amen to that in the name of Jesus. Mike Woolen, Tanu, Edwin, put your trust in the Word. Asa, who's an intern on staff, put your trust in the Word. Men of God, David Carrasco, you know, I was in the youth meeting the other day, and David Carrasco was standing there like this. I was watching him. And man, David Carrasco loves the Bible. You know, you guys don't know David Carrasco, perhaps. But in the eyes of God, he's a mighty man of God. You know, he's full of the Word. Do you know how many mighty men of God are all around us? You know what makes a man mighty? It's when they fill themselves with the Bible. Could we just lift our hands right now? Come on, in Philadelphia. In a moment, I want to pray for all the men. But could we lift our hands right now? Ladies, I want you to do the same, because I want to encourage you to put your trust in the Word. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And the sword of the Spirit is the key to your victory. No matter what you're battling with, if you're watching online, the Word of God will be the key to your freedom. The Word of God will be the key to your breakthrough. Come on, let's pray right now. God, help us to fall in love with your Word. Help us, teach us how to wield the sword of the Spirit in both churches, God, in our people online. We are stopping right now and saying, God, we want to make the most of the Bible. Oh God, in this place, we want our children to be filled with a love for the Bible. Let them hear it. Let them see it, oh God. Help us to wield the sword of the Spirit. Do it by your mighty power. Do it by your mighty power. Make us mighty men and women of God as we put our trust in the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.